Hey, y'all out there, this is Bo Billingsley, the voice of Jet Black and the Fourth Raikage. You're listening to The Night Nerd. Stay tuned, because all kinds of good things will be happening.
Welcome to the Night Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Lance. It's Thursday, so we're going to talk a little bit of history. All week we've been celebrating Charles Schulz. It was his birthday on Monday, and he is just a phenomenal influence in the world of art, and really, as we'll see here in a minute, so many other facets of life. He was a real big influence to numerous people over the last almost 100 years, and he's just really great. So we'll start off looking a little bit at his history. He was born in Minneapolis, grew up in St. Paul. His dad was born in Germany and immigrated here. His mom was Norwegian. And growing up, he had the nickname Sparky after the horse in the Barney Google comic strips, which I don't think they still do Barney Google. I don't think it's in the papers anymore. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. And he grew up pretty normal childhood. One cool thing I learned is when he was 15, he actually had an illustration published in Ripley's Believe It or Not. His dad had a dog named Spike that would eat thumbtacks and pins and just random things. I can't imagine what cleaning up after that would be like. But he drew a picture of it and sent it in to Ripley's, and they put it in their cartoon, their panel thing, and boom, his first published work. And as he would grow up, he was super smart. He skipped two half grades, so, you know, like at the semester break, we would jump up. And because of that, he was a little shy. He was always the youngest in his class and everything, and that affected him. That caused him to have a pretty strong bond with his mom that we'll get into in a moment. Not like Electra style, but, you know, strong bond. When he was in high school, he actually had one of his drawings rejected for the yearbook. And he called him out later on in a peanut strip, kind of. But now, there's a 5-foot-tall statue of Snoopy at the same high school, so I guess they realized they were wrong and, you know, trying to make good on it. But kudos for them. In February of 43, so he would have been 20 years old at this point, his mom died. After she'd been sick for a long time, and she died. And he had found out, like, the reason his problem was she had cancer. And it hit him pretty hard. And just boom, right after that, he got drafted into the Army, where he was a staff sergeant for the 20th Armored Division, and he was in Europe during World War II. He was a squad leader on a 50 caliber machine gun unit, and he did see a little bit of combat, but it wasn't until the very, very end of the war. And there's a story he talks about where he had the opportunity, like, to shoot a German soldier, shoot a Nazi. He forgot to load the gun. But it worked out because the soldier surrendered, and it was all well and good. And for the rest of his life, you know, he was really proud and spoke a lot of what he did during the war, and, you know, he was honored to be part of that. After the war, he came back to Minneapolis, and he actually did lettering in a Roman Catholic comic magazine called Timeless Topics. And then he would take a job at the Art Instruction Incorporated, where he would do reviews and grades and stuff for student submissions. And that's kind of how he paid the bills at the time. And he did that as he developed his career, becoming an artist on his own until he could do that. And on Wednesday's show, you know, we talked about the evolution of Little Folks into Peanuts and how that all went down. So we're not going to rehash that here. You can go back and listen to that. But that's, you know, where he went. And in his, you know, that Peanuts took up most of his life. But he had a lot of other stuff. You know, just like anybody else, he had a personal life. In 51, he married a lady named Joyce Halverson and adopted her daughter. Then they moved to Colorado Springs, Colorado, had a son and three more children after that when they moved to Minnesota. And while he was there, you know, he just kept working on Charlie Brown, kept doing stuff. His father passed away, actually, while he was visiting Charles in 66. And that same year, his studio burned down. So, you know, he definitely has that Charlie Brown luck, which is rough. He would move to Santa in 69. He moved to Santa Rosa, California, and that's where he'd live the rest of his life. And the house he lived in actually just burned down in 2017 because of wildfires. So that's pretty sad. And he also has a museum there dedicated to him. Then after they moved there, after him and Joyce moved there, it's Thanksgiving 1970 by about this point, and their marriage is on the rocks. They're having trouble to the point where he actually had an affair with a young woman, and that kind of, and I mean, as it should be, was kind of the breaking point. And so they divorced in 72, and about a year later, in the end of 73, he married a lady named Jean Clyde, who he'd met when she brought her daughter into his hockey rink, and that's who he was married to for the rest of his life. And Jean had an interesting story. In May of 88, two guys in ski masks broke in their home, and they were going to kidnap her, but their daughter Jill showed up, and that scared the kidnappers away, and I don't think they ever figured out who it was or anything like that, but the police, you know, knew that it was a kidnap slash ransom type thing, and that they knew who they were targeting. It wasn't just a random act. But on the other side of his personal life, like not just his marriages and stuff like that, he was really big into sports. Always figure skating and ice hockey, especially. If you go back and read Peanut strips, you see they're always playing hockey or ice skating. On the specials, they're always doing that. And like I mentioned, he met Joy when she came into his hockey rink. He owned the Redwood Empire Ice Arena, which opened in 69, and it was, it's still around. He also was real big in senior ice hockey tournaments. And in 75, he formed Snoopy Senior World Hockey Tournament. And that was, I think it's still a thing. As far as I could tell, it was still a thing. In 81, he was awarded the Lester Patrick Trophy. And what that trophy is it's given to people who bring awareness of hockey to the United States. Because hockey's kind of that weird, sometimes it's popular, sometimes it's not. In certain parts it is, blah, blah, blah. And so he, you know, for all the attention he brought to hockey, he got that award. And then in 98, he hosted the first over 75 hockey tournament. So that was pretty cool. And in 2000, after he passed, the county he lived in, they changed the name of the Highland Park Ice Arena to the Charles M. Schultz Highland Arena. So that's really cool. He was a big art guy. He loved Andrew White. And even though Schroeder plays Beethoven, Schultz actually preferred Brahms. So that's pretty cool. He's not only did he get that hockey award, but he's also been given the Silver Buffalo Award. That's the highest adult award that the Boy Scouts give. He was a big bridge player. So, the American Contract Bridge League awarded Snoopy and Woodstock the rank of Life Master. Not Schultz, but, you know, his creations. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame, actually, which is really cool. In 96, he got a Hollywood star, and it's right next to Walt Disney's, which I think is completely appropriate. On our next episode of Family Sounds, we talk about people who have had huge influences. And, I mean, Walt Disney, Charles Schulz, Jim Henson, and Stan Lee. That's for the artistic-wise, for the biggest guys of the last century. And so he definitely deserves a spot there. He was also big on space, which he showed in the comics a lot. And on the Apollo 11, the command module was Charlie Brown, and the lunar module was Snoopy. So that's really neat. They even, at NASA, they even have an award called the Silver Snoopy Award. And it goes to people who have mission success or, you know, big safety breakthroughs and stuff like that. So that's really neat. Right before he died, a guy named Mike Thompson, congressman, introduced a bill to give him the Congressional Gold Medal, which is the highest civilian honor. You see a recurring pattern here. The highest available honor he has gotten repeatedly. And it passed. Only one person voted no on it, and that's Ron Paul, who is now like probably my least favorite, but one of my least favorite politicians now. I didn't care about him before, but you voted against Charles Schulz, so boo on you, sir. And it went to the Senate, where everybody voted yes. It was unanimous over there, which is really cool. And then Bill Clinton signed it into law, and his widow Jean accepted it. He was also inducted into the Figure Skating Hall of Fame, and he was the inaugural recipient of the Harvey Kurtzman Hall of Fame Award. So you see, he's been honored in just every possible field, and that's really cool. And rightfully so. I mean, he's done a lot to give back as well. His bio isn't without blemishes, but whose isn't? He's opened up like Camp Snoopy. There's research centers named after him. There's art institutes named after him. He's done all of these things, and it's really a phenomenal legacy for a phenomenal man. So that's awesome. Thank you, Mr. Schulz, wherever you are, for all that you've done. But that's going to do it for us today. Thank you all so much for listening. Make sure find us out there on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just look for The Night Nerd. Email me, nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. Love to hear from you. Make sure like, comment, share, subscribe. All the standard stuff on the podcast helps us out, helps you out. So we really appreciate that. But yeah, I'm Lance. Again, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.